I'm Brian Mackey. This is the 21st. This is Earth Day, and this is, well...
This is a CBS News special. Earth Day, a question of survival, with CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. A unique day in American history is ending, a day set aside for a nationwide outpouring of mankind seeking its own survival. Earth Day.
That was Walter Cronkite from CBS Evening News speaking on the first Earth Day in 1970. It's usually celebrated with large gatherings in many cities to raise consciousness about the state of the planet, as Cronkite reported. He also noted this about the people who made it out on that first Earth Day.
Its demonstrators were predominantly young, predominantly white, predominantly anti-Nixon. Often its protests appeared frivolous, its protesters curiously carefree. Yet the gravity of the message of Earth Day still came through. Act or die.
Things are different 50 years on, with public gathering banned on account of the coronavirus pandemic, but people are finding other ways to reflect on the state of our planet. Environmental advocacy groups say this unprecedented Earth Day is also an opportunity to assess legislative priorities and what we need to do to tackle other global problems like climate change and environmental inequality. Joining us now is Jen Walling, Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council in Springfield. And also with us is Jack Darin, Director of the Illinois Chapter of the Sierra Club. Jen, Jack, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to be with you, Brian.
And you can also join the conversation. If you're listening now, how do you plan to mark Earth Day in Illinois? Give us a call at 800-222-9455. That number again is 800-222-9455. Jack, I want to begin with you. This is, I think, a strange time to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Earth Day during a global pandemic. How has that shaped what the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club is thinking about on Earth Day this year?
Well, of course, our thoughts really are with the crisis and those most at risk. And as a volunteer-based organization, we've been spending a lot of time, like most of us have been, in video chats and staying in touch with each other. And it's been great and reassuring to see that the people care about and who work so hard are healthy, but also still engaged in wanting to find a way that they can make a difference, not only for the environmental priorities we were working so hard on a month or so ago, but also standing up for the people who are most at risk from this health crisis.
And Jen, what about you? Same question. How is the Environmental Council marking Earth Day and thinking about it this year?
I think the same as what Jack is bringing up. A lot of our actions have moved to things that are on social media and online, connecting via video calls, and placing more importance than ever on making sure our staff, our volunteers, the community are taking care of themselves and their families. We're working on the same things, but our priorities are different now.
So, Jen, I understand your organization was founded a few years after the first Earth Day in 1970. And obviously, Earth Day is about raising consciousness about the state of the planet. I'm wondering about the state of Illinois. How do you think Illinois is doing when it comes to environmental health or protecting environmental health?
Well, I think that we've come a long way. And yeah, IEC was formed by some of the individuals in Illinois that led the Earth Day efforts in 1970, including groups like the Sierra Club that Jack now leads. And I think that we have come a long way, and there's measurable progress in environmental quality that literally you can see, but we're still working on some of the same things. I think that in 1970, they were advocating for the creation of an environmental agency. Today, we're advocating for the IEPA and other agencies that have been cut in half over the last decade. And those cuts to the environmental agencies have put us in this position where we are today, where we can't deal with catastrophes. We can't enforce environmental laws. So there are we've done a lot, but there's still a lot of work that we need to do to make sure that public health is protected.
Now, Jack, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what progress we have made in Illinois since 1970. What, and of course, the Illinois Constitution, I think that year actually added the environmental protection to the state's Bill of Rights. Can you talk a little bit about what Illinois' environment might have looked like in 1970? What were the urgent issues back then?
Well, I mean, at that point, we didn't have our most basic federal environmental laws that, unfortunately, now really are being questioned by the current federal administration. So we had, you know, raw sewage flowing into our Great Lakes and our rivers and streams. We didn't have regulations on pesticides and toxic chemicals. We weren't being very aggressive about saving habitats for biodiversity. And I think we really can all look back and be proud of what we've accomplished over the last 50 years. There are environmental problems that we've made great progress on, if not largely solved. Problems like acid rain, problems like lead in our air from lead in gasoline. We're taking species off the endangered and threatened species list and seeing them recover. So we absolutely have crises like climate change and emerging pollutants that we need to address. But if we look back on the fact that when we set our minds to it as a society, we have solved problems and we can do it again, and we're going to need to.
I think for a lot of us, Earth Day is something that we associate with school science classes. Before the show, the producers and I were talking about some of the different environmental lessons we all learned on Earth Day and how that changes from generation to generation. In the 70s, somebody recalled pollutants that we were putting into the earth, dirty water, things like that. Then it was fixing the ozone. In the 90s, I remember an emphasis on recycling. So what are the Earth Day lessons being taught right now, Jack?
Well, right now, in the midst of this crisis, I think that, you know, we see some parallels between what we need to do to protect ourselves and recover from the coronavirus pandemic and challenges like climate change. And two really basic things we've got to do to solve both of those are to listen to science and let facts and not politics or fear guide our actions, and also to stand up for the people who are most at risk. Because unfortunately, the folks out there right now who are most at risk from this health crisis are the same ones who are being disproportionately impacted by pollution and stand to be impacted by climate change more than any of us. So if we learn to do both those things, then I'm confident that we can come out of both of these, the pandemic and the climate crisis, stronger and more connected and a more just society.
Jen, I want to ask you the same question. What do you think the Earth Day lessons are being taught now? Maybe even not just in the pandemic, but, you know, this generation of students.
Well, I think this generation of students is teaching us and not the other way around. I think that this generation of students is more motivated than ever to tackle climate change. This is something that students, young students today, know that this is something that's going to impact them in their lifetime, and they're terrified. And they see the urgency of this issue. We've seen so much action with the youth climate strikes, and even today on a national basis, there is a 72-hour live stream of youth climate strike. And tonight at 6 to 7, the Illinois group is going to be part of that national stream. And I just think that there's so many ways that those students and what they're doing and the urgency that they're bringing is motivating the rest of us to work harder and do more, because this is really a crisis that is going to impact them more than anybody else alive. So I'm definitely learning lessons from what they're doing, how they're organizing, and the enthusiasm that they're bringing to something that is impacting all of us.
Jen, I want to talk to you a little bit about policy. We sat down, I don't know, 2-3 months ago in the Environmental Council's Springfield offices and talked about the Clean Energy Jobs Act and some of the other policy priorities of your organization this spring. That feels like it was a few years ago, frankly. And that was going to be one of the big issues that everybody was focusing on in Springfield this year. And the goal is to switch Illinois over to 100% renewable energy by 2050. We're not really sure when legislators are going to return to Springfield. We don't really know what they're going to do. It could be a pretty pared down legislative session. What is the status of the Clean Energy Jobs Act?
Well, I think that it's in flux, just like everything else that might be happening with the legislative session. I mean, we assume that a number of our bills just won't be called this year, but the Clean Energy Jobs Act is still a priority. And we've been working on educating lawmakers on the things that are part of that will assist with the recovery, but also if they're not going past, are going to make things more problematic. So there's a solar jobs cliff that while we're going through all of these economic issues, the addition of all of these solar companies hitting an area where they're not being funded and losing jobs will make the economic situation worse. Or the FERC order from the federal government is one that will increase rates for consumers. So there are a number of ways that not passing the Clean Energy Jobs Act will make things worse. And I also think that we need a renewed emphasis on pollution reduction overall. And I think that for us, CEJA is still a priority, but we're working more on the prioritization of the impacts of low-income people, workers, and public health, because those are the things that are most urgent right now.
And Jack, same question to you. Does the Sierra Club have a legislative agenda that was sort of moved aside this year, I imagine? Or what is the status of what you were hoping to see out of Springfield in just a couple of minutes we have left?
Working very closely with Jen on the Clean Energy Jobs Act, she talked about that's really critical. We know that there's an economic component, obviously a massive one, to this pandemic. We had towns across central Illinois already hurting from fossil fuel plant retirements. And we think the state increases, the urgency is increased for the state to help those workers and help those communities. It's just another reason why passing bold clean energy legislation really needs to be part of our response to this crisis.
You know, as I've been thinking about the pandemic and how unprepared we really seem to be, I mean, this is a big issue. There have been books written about, you know, the emerging threats of viruses jumping from animals to humans. There have been, you know, policy symposia about this. People knew about these sort of things, and yet we were utterly unprepared, and it has crippled our economy, and it's happened so quickly. And I wonder if you see a parallel there to the way we seem to, as a collective people, be it Illinoisans or Americans or the human race, seem to be having such a hard time wrapping our brains around the threat of climate change. Do you see a parallel there, Jen? Do you see what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are a ton of different lines of thought in why this is very comparable. I think that, you know, I talked a little bit about the scaling back of government agencies, both at the state level and the federal level, that I think have left us unprepared for this pandemic, will leave us unprepared for other catastrophic events. And that's been a systematic and purposeful scaling back of those government agencies that have left us here. And I think similarly, scientists have brought forward these potential risks and we haven't listened. And both with climate change and these public health risks. And scientists do anticipate that the impacts of pandemics will be worse with climate change, both new pandemics from the melting of ice caps, but also changes in climate that may make different diseases worse and more spreadable. So I think that there's definitely parallels in how this works. And just reminding us that, you know, despite how much we want to do whatever we want, we're all connected. That's both what Earth Day is about and what we're realizing more intimately than ever through the pandemic.
And Jack, just about 20 seconds left in our conversation, but are you optimistic that the experience we're going through now with this pandemic will sort of change the way people think about the threat to the environment?
I am. I think that we're going to come out of this thinking more strongly than we have in a long time, that listening to the scientists and health professionals matter, and that we need institutions like government to lead and protect us, and we need each other most of all.
Jack Darin is president of the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, or I should say director of the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club. And Jen Walling is director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Happy Earth Day. Stay well. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Happy Earth Day.
Thank you, Brian.
The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our producers are Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Eunice Alpison is our intern. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director, and we have a special thank you, as always, to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks for listening to The 21st.